Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. I want you to holler at me also via email. smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com is the questions, comments, and concerns email page. You can also jump in the chat room if you ghost listening. I want to hear from you. I have a Facebook Smooth Drama page. As always, I ask you to request to join. And if you want to social network with me and just add me as a friend so that you can stalk me in the corner like my many other hundreds of stalkers that I don't know who are my friends, but never say hi. They just stare at me from afar. I'm not that concerned with it, but it's funny nonetheless. Feel free to add me. Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, you add me. I add you back, and we can talk a taste on it. Now, before I get started, for some of you listeners who are tuning in to hear my interview with author Anton Marks, we are going to get that one on the special Smooth Drama show on Saturday afternoon. So be looking out for that. I will have London author and cool dude Anton Marks, and we're going to set it off on a special Smooth Drama Saturday afternoon, so be looking out for that. In the meantime, I'm going to set it off right here. first, I saw there was a, in the zoo in Harpersville, New York, there was a popular YouTube video live stream that was taken off the air because it was showing nudity and sexual content, as they call it. Unfortunately, what it was, it was just a giraffe about to give birth. And apparently, giraffe pussy sets people over the top. They can't take it. Like, is that a giraffe's vagina? Is that a baby giraffe coming out of a giraffe's vagina? Is too much. And, you know, I thought about it because you could say, oh, people are being petty. But we have to remember the history of this country. We have laws against human animal fraternization for a reason. Apparently, animal vagina or an animal penis, for that factor, because we're going to be fair and balanced, it's too much for folks. They can't take seeing it. It's like what? Are you serious? They're showing a vagina, and apparently there's a segment of the American population who, for lack of a better word, are titillated by animal nudity, and it sets them over the top, and they can't help themselves, and that's why these sheep, we have these laws. I mean, because we have these laws because we had to tell folks, hey, it's not cool to be hitting your lamb, cow, dog, whatever. Although, technically, it should all be fair game if you sick like that. But, if that's your thing, you look at giraffes like, I want to hit that. I guess if you and the giraffe, y'all feel good about each other. Y'all have a positive relationship and giraffe won't toot up. Although, you probably have to be really, really tall or get a really, really young. And I don't know, would that call you, would you be a pedophile if you had sex with a young teenage giraffe? I don't know. This is going in the bad direction. But I'm just saying, technically, we understand why they have these laws. Now, I don't understand why they have the laws because, I've never really looked. Because you talk about animal nudity, that animals don't wear clothes. I've seen some animals with clothes. There are people who put a sweater on a dog or something like their fur don't count. But the fact that they're already naked. It's like they're naked. Animals are not worried about the latest outfit. Do my jeans make my ass look big? That doesn't come up in the animal kingdom. I'm just amazed that people are petty enough to remove a giraffe giving birth because of the nudity and sexual content. All animals are nude. There's no animal that is not nude, especially in the wild. They're nude, right? The spots, maybe the spots kind of close for some people, but I'm guessing for people who have common sense, those spots on animals and fur on animals don't take away from them being nude. And why am I talking about this? I don't know. You have people that are petty like that. Is this news? Yeah, it is. The fact that sexual content and giving birth, giving birth is one of the staples of life. It's a beautiful thing. I think the most beautiful thing in the world is a pregnant woman. It's beautiful. You know, she's carrying life. It's like one of those things. It's like sacred. And a woman giving birth, it's like that's a beautiful thing. It's pure. You're about to give life. I guess it's too much though. Giraffe pussy. Some people just can't take giraffe. I'm going to get off of this because I can't take giraffe pussy any longer. But speaking of pussy, apparently there was a caretaker in Ohio who allegedly were performing lewd acts on a 100-year-old man. This 26-year-old caseworker, Brittany Fultz, she's facing charge of gross sexual imposition, but she may face additional charges. And what they're saying is, according to police, she was straddling his legs, talking about, I can show you new things, and she pulled down her pants and she moved me. Now, I have some reservations on this. Men can be raped. Yes, men can be raped by women. You're imposing on the guy if he doesn't want it, if he's not interested in this. Yeah. Now, I'm like Oprah when I do this. I always impose myself into the story, and I'm sitting up there thinking, like, if I'm a 100-year-old man and there is a young woman who wants to straddle my leg and she's bending over, mooning me, whatnot. Now, there are two factors here that I weigh heavily. First, you teasing me, right? I'm 100. Maybe I can't get it up. So if I can't get it up, I'm 100. And you just straddling me, bending over, mooning me, whatnot, all up in my face with it. I can be mad, like, hey, why are you doing this to me? Or, hey, maybe he doesn't like women. Because if we turn it around, right, old man, and there's a male nurse who is straddling him, bending over, putting his balls in his face, I can show you some things. People look at this story differently. Now, and we know that there's the difference, because we always make the joke, and I know I've made the joke before, when they show the teachers having sex with the underage kids, and most guys' jokes are like, hey, where were these teachers at when we was growing up? You could use some of that sexual harassment. You know, it's a funny joke, but at the same time, when you look at it, like, I'm a 100-year-old man, and if there's some dude bending his hairy ass up in my face, balls jiggling all up, I'm like, first, pause for one of my kids and say, no homo. it's a different connotation. But it's the exact same thing. I can make light of it. I can make a joke about it, but at the same time, hell no. Don't be jiggling in my face, especially if I'm 100 and you ain't going to give me none. No. And if I'm 100 and it's a dude and he's trying to give me some, no. I'm like that WNBA player who was like, yeah, they hated on me because I was not gay. I was like, how does that work? Technically, you could say she was being very heroic, right? I mean, because in today's landscape, people are celebrated because, you know, they're gay. It's like, I'm gay. It's like, I came out as gay. And you're like, oh my goodness. It took so much for you to come out and say that you're gay. And I'm sure there'd be some gay folks who will come out and say, hey, you don't understand the struggle, whatnot. And I would retort that, well, I'm a black man. You have to tell folks you're gay. I don't have to tell folks I'm black. It's one of those things that just happens. As far as discrimination goes, I understand. But I'm digressing. When I'm saying that the point is, you have folks who are looked at as heroes. They made that heroic come out, I'm gay. I mean, like the Jason Collins basketball player, scrub. He's considered a scrub. Average 4 points a game. It's like, oh, he made that sacrifice. Now nobody will pick him up. I'm like, well, he averaged like 4 points a game in his prime. He kind of sucked. There was no discrimination against him. He sucked. But he was heroic. I mean, you would say, oh, well, they came out. I say this basketball player, is she heroic? Because in the WNBA, everybody's gay, and she stayed hetero. I mean, is that people hating on her? Is she a hero now? I mean, it's kind of funny how it get twisted like that. And, I mean, do folks consider it that way? I mean, obviously, I'm being facetious, but at the same time, am I in a predominantly gay sport? Well, I won't say gay sport because it's WNBA, but a gay organization. You say, apparently, said 99%, 98, 95, whatever, it's in the 90s, the women are gay. And if you're not gay, they're looking at you crazy. Like, why aren't you gay? I don't know. I'm just saying. Sounds kind of funny. But it doesn't. Which means I need to go on break. So I'm going to do some hardcore. Just because I'm just feeling hardcore. And I'm going to post up. If you saw the video of me right now, I'm sitting in my shirt, and I'm be standing in the corner doing a B-boy stance. Just in case if you have bugged my house and you got the video feed somewhere hidden, you're about to see me do a B-boy stance. I'm gonna be right over here in the corner. This is how I used to perpetrate back in the day. This is Darface. Junkyard dog.
What it look like? Looks like another one.
Junkyard, baby. Niggas got no identity. I'm God, Joe. I already know my enemy. Concentrate properly, control my energy. Look at you, you can't even hold that Hennessy. Never gonna like you, we don't have chemistry. Old number 7 on the throwback Tennessee. Ain't trying to fill you in, I don't have empathy. You friendly to a fault that got tendencies. Stay around masters with jewels and recipes. Taught me it's important I control my legacy. Spin on all the gins who distract and menace me. And if you scared to death, nigga, don't be friends with me. You can catch feelings and act defensively, but you ain't trying to kill nothing with that intensity. I know your reaction's just an act of jealousy, but you talking to God, so retract that heresy.
I realized the guy strapped over the mailbox looked kind of familiar, so I asked him, hey, do I know you? He said, well, indeed you might.
When I pull out the pen, I'ma walk out again. Time to sun motherfuckers cold out again. The flow's distinguished, but rap genius makes it look like I don't speak English. Plus I space out the words like Silver Surfer. To prove that I got the skill to murder, kill a burst or sell out arenas like I'm backstabbing Gilbert. Nursing beats like Buffalo Bill. He puts a lotion on the track. 7 continental notions on his back. I attack the block as if I'm John Boy Egger. Trying to get your phone man on like a convoy. Crush your convoy. Crush your convoy. I laugh at them like I smashed off a glass of gin or tin. Drunk watching Jim Gaff again with the fattest wind. And when they go and grab the pen, I laugh again. It feels like somebody's dabbing my abdomen. Go past the aspirin. Half of these rappers are practicing to get the cash limbs and phone and scratch pins. Cause they has been. I shatter leeches in arenas, blood splatters, creatures. So many lines you think I'm trafficking African zebras. When the crack bangs put us in the fast lane. Color sounded like got the letters down to Bobby Knight's last name. I smack lanes, I snack on brains, I'm that strange. I pull down like I'm trying to make exact change.
What gives you the right? My entire life gives me the right, mister. Look at my record. Now I know why you wear a mask. It's to hide your swelled head.
Who's that guy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going back to that.
Live in person, I'ma shoot first like Kyrie Irving. Your silly rap getting no claps like Miley Perkins. Sight versus getting your blood, no hypodermic. I'm highly worth putting clowns back inside the circus. Rap guard rocking Jordans in a white beater. Mike Turner beat the beat down for sounding like Cena. They sounding like Jesus with nice features. I'm bent west ill, they barely a slight fever. Wordplay wizard by Mike is Harry Potter's wand. Star face nominated at the Comic Con. Drop bombs, deliver it hot like it's Papa John. Popping Don, burning blue flowers with Dr. Octagon. Phenomenon, John Travolta with the smoker. I'm straight like five sequence cards and poker. No, sir, I am not a poser. My motto is red over beef. You can call it samosa.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going back to that.
Everybody's saying the devil's going to come after me. Well, I'm going to kick his butt.
Together you got to move. Drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Czarface, Junkyard Dogs. I got to say, first, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, call-in number 347-826-7435. I got to say, some of y'all are funny. Some of y'all are funny. You know, one caller was like, oh, I have some pussy for you. 9+ minutes on pussy, just say the word. It's like, thank you. I appreciate the offer. And then I got another hit saying, hey, is that an offer? To put cameras in your room. Y'all, oh man, y'all are funny. thank you for the hits. I will keep all your requests and advisement. Anyway, speaking of advice, Jameis Winston, who is a quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, it's Black History Month. He's speaking at an elementary school in Florida, Melrose Elementary School in St. Petersburg, Florida. And you know, black role model, he's there to inspire them and bring them joy, whatnot. So what he did is he gave his speech. Want to hear it? Here you go. And I'm quoting him. All my young boys, stand up. The ladies, sit down. But all my boys, stand up. We strong, right? We strong. We strong, right? All my boys tell me one thing. I can do anything I put my mind to. Boys aren't supposed to be soft-spoken. You know what I'm saying? One day, y'all going to have a very deep voice like this. Like this. And one day you'll have a very, very deep voice. But the ladies, they're supposed to be silent, polite, and gentle. And I mean, there's some misogynistic tones. Their undertones, overtones, however you want to put it. Be silent, polite, and gentle. Boys, be strong. Because one day you can't be soft-spoken, you have a very, very deep voice. Now, I'm not going to bring up his history, because I'm sure y'all can Google it for yourselves. At the same time, you start thinking about it's a, hey, girls, shut up. He said it. You're supposed to be silent. Shut the fuck up. Supposed to be polite. Hey, would you mind getting me coffee and donuts?
Yes. Yes, sir. I will get you some.
Did I tell you to speak? And be gentle. It's just funny. Now, of course, the speech didn't go over well, right? And people complained about it. So, after he heard the complaints, he had the apology retort. And here is his retort. I was making an effort to interact with a young male in the audience who didn't seem to be paying attention. And I didn't want to single him out, so I asked all the boys to stand up. During my talk, I used a poor word choice that may have overshadowed that positive message for some. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about here is encouraging girls and boys not to be strong together. The whole, hey, be soft, gentle, and sweet, polite, whatever. And that's fine. But boys should be that too. Because there's nothing like rude, obnoxious, loud boys and girls. Both should be, hey, bring that down a little bit. You know, take some of that bass out your voice. I mean, make sure there's something in there when you're talking, but not too much. And I mean, it's, I wouldn't say that it's not a huge problem, because obviously we know that women aren't necessarily thought of highly in today's society, but shit, when have women been thought of highly? If you wasn't the queen, that's kind of it. One of those things, it's the queen or bust. If you were anything else but the queen, you ain't shit. In the history and the annals of men, in the world of men, it's like, if you're not high, then you're low. Not too many middle grounds. Shout out to James Winston, though. I was trying to get that one boy. He wasn't paying attention. Boy, stand up. Anyway. Oh, man. Now, I've come to my favorite part, well, one of my favorite parts of the show, where end of the week I get to talk about my dumbass of the week. Well, love that last burp. I always love it. It's like getting that last bit of into it. Anyway, my dumbass of the week is this dude. I don't understand people. He vowed to eat a picture every day of Jason Segel, Noah Maloney has vowed to eat a picture of actor Jason Segel every day until the actor eats his picture. I don't understand what he's trying to. Apparently, he just wanted us to say his name. Noah Maloney, you're really, really stupid. I'm not going to watch your video. I'm just going to call you a dumbass. Like, well, I'm not. I'm going to eat a picture every day until he eats one of my pictures. And so he did a video where he spends 4 minutes chewing on headshot. No homo. It's like, what? It's really dumb. Anyway, I'm just not gonna go there with that one too. It's like, it's just, you're just stupid for no reason whatsoever. And good luck with that. I hope it works out well for you, and I guess the people from Greenpeace who don't want you to, like, tear down too many trees, they may come get you. Anyway, I have a second dumbass, though. Sherry Lynn Wilkins, substance abuse counselor, talked about this story few years back. She hit the man with her car and drove 2 miles with his body in her windshield. She got 25 years to life in prison. She pleaded no contest to second degree murder and 2 drunken driving counts. Now, the reason why she is just being charged now, because she had been found guilty at a 2014 trial on similar charges, but an appeals court threw out the conviction because her entire criminal history had been admitted at trial and could have prejudiced the jury. And she had received a stiffer sentence of 55 years of life before her appeal. Now, her criminal history had nothing to do with it. She hit a man with her car. He stuck in the windshield. he stuck in the windshield, embedded in her windshield. Her body is face down on the hood. And she's just driving with a dude stuck in the windshield, not to the hospital. She drove, she drove and killed him, and he's stuck in there. And she was confronted at a stoplight. Who does that? So, she could be the dumbass of the week every week. I don't care how drunk you are. When you hit somebody and they're stuck in your windshield, you're going to stop the car, call the ambulance, like, see if you can save that person. It's unfortunate. But to drive with them in the car, and just keep driving. Like, la, 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 la. And to be stopped by some other folks who confront you, like, hey, You got a dude hanging out your windshield. Like she didn't know. Anyway. Dumbasses of the week. They're very, very special people. And we here at Smooth Drama, we love to acknowledge the dumbass. We embrace our dumbasses. Sort of like this cop. I know most folks saw it. The off-duty LAPD cop firing a gun in a dispute with some teens. It's like, where do they get these cops from? It's like they keep coming out of the woodworks. I don't know if you've seen the video. It's a plain clothes cop. He's having a dispute with a group of minors because they were walking in his yard. They were on his grass. And he's like, "Hey, don't be on my grass." And now, in the video, the officer can be heard saying that the boy threatened to shoot him. And the teen is on the video saying, "What? I ain't trying to shoot you." And the teenager adds that the officer is calling another girl bad words because she walked on his grass also. And so now one of them runs up on him, and another teenager tries to punch him but misses. And then you see in the video, while he's pulling on the kid, his gun and fires. And all the kids scatter. Little kids now. These aren't big grown-ups. These are little kids. Of course, he's on administrative leave, like you knew he would be. But yeah. And they had protests. People throwing stuff at his house, whatnot. I mean, not that I care or sympathize with him in any way, shape, or form. Is, I mean, with the protesters, whatnot. It's another video, so automatically, you know, he's innocent. Right, because you don't get off unless there's video, because video shows conclusively him attacking the kids, pulling the kid and pulling out his gun on little kids, not grown up. Little kids. Now we know there's going to be there's going to be some kind of justification. You know, mind you, 13-year-old kids being arrested and being shot at by a cop. 13. Come on. We'll see. It's going to. We got to see what the special excuse is going to be this week. Well, it won't be this week. It'll be next week. But the fact that we know that there's going to be some kind of. All right. Well, he didn't. He was provoked by the kids, and so he had to
he had to pull his gun. He felt threatened because these kids out here are dangerous. You know, that's what's going to be said. Something to that effect. He's waiting on it. Obviously, we're going to keep track of it, but he's getting off. And on that note, I'm going on break. I need a break. This is the Game in Common, Angel.
together you guys. Ooh, drummer, smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Common in the Game, Angel. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Groundhog Day. You know, we always got to go out with the Groundhog Day, where we talk about that racist act or group of acts, and that always happen every day. They just never change. Like the Bill Murray movie, where every day was the same. The exact same thing happened every day. People kept saying the same thing. The same racist things just keep happening, or the same idiotic things just keep happening. Case in point, authorities in Florida have arrested a man who allegedly planned to blow up 10 Target stores in an effort to make the company's stock fall. Police say Mark Barnett recruited a person to plant 10 explosive devices as food packaging on the shelves of Target stores from Florida to New York. Bennett wanted the company's stock to fall so he could buy cheap shares and make money when values rose again. He was turned in by an accomplice. First, why does this count as Groundhog Day? Well, as they've said, one-offs. He's not necessarily a member of the Klan. He's not necessarily a member of any white supremacist group. But this is a guy who planned on bombing stores where you would guess that thousands of people would be in it simultaneously. He was going to blow up 10 stores. Places, devices, as food packaging, where there'd be a substantial amount of people, so that the stock could fall, so he could buy cheap shares and make money. I mean, super terrorist, right? I'm gonna blow up Target so I could buy cheap stocks. He ain't even got hate involved in the situation whatsoever. Man, I ain't trying to blow up black people. I ain't trying to blow up white people. I'm trying to blow up all people so I can get rich. Yeah. Capitalism at its finest. But Groundhog Day, because they did not call him a terrorist. Even though he was going to blow some stuff up where thousands of people would have been. So he would have, if successful, blown up thousands of people in 10 different stores from Florida to New York just for money. Being a terrorist, he's a one-off. He wasn't conspiring with nobody, but mysteriously, an accomplice turned him in. I thought that terrorists, they conspire with terrorists. He got with the wrong terrorist who was like, man, why you gonna blow up? Why you gonna blow up Target? Why you ain't blowing up Walmart? I'm not trying to be funny, but that's just stupid. Groundhog Day. Wow, wow, wow. And speaking of Groundhog Day, just in case, you know, all you folks, medicinal marijuana users, like, yeah, boy, I got my weed now. I got my medicinal marijuana now. I got my car just on and crack I can buy that weed. I can smoke walking down the street. Y'all was all dancing like you was at the skating ring. Just, yeah, it's on. Until, of course, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer was asked whether the Trump administration plans to crack down on states like Colorado and Washington that have legalized recreational marijuana. And he had this to say. There are two distinct issues here, medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. Medical marijuana, I've said before that the president understands the pain and suffering that many people go through who are facing especially terminal diseases and the comfort that some of these drugs, including medical marijuana, can bring them. Then they ask him about recreational marijuana. What does he say? When you see something like the opioid addiction crisis blossoming in some of the states in the country, the last we should be doing is encouraging people. There's still a federal law that we need to abide by when it comes to recreational marijuana and other drugs of that nature. So I think there is a big difference between medical marijuana, which the states where it's allowed have set forth a process to administer and regulate that usage, versus recreational marijuana, that's a very, very different subject. Now, opioid addiction crisis, recreational marijuana. Recreational marijuana, opioid addiction crisis. Recreational marijuana, black people. People of color, predominantly. Opioid crisis, non-black people, non-people of color. So instead of saying, what are we going to do about the opioids? Because you can't do nothing about the opioids because that would be big pharmaceutical. That would be corporations. You know those people. Those corporations, which are people, as outlined by law now, can't go after them. So, as always, we got to find a way to mess with those thousandaires. You know what a thousandaire is, right? That would be you, the listener. You have thousands of dollars. Or have had thousands of dollars in your lifetime. And you may have two or three more thousand to make in your lifetime. I guess depending on your job. If you only got two or three more thousand to make, I'm hoping that you're dying. That's just what I'm saying. It just makes no sense. But either you're dying or it's not good for you. But the fact that they're attacking marijuana users. We know who the majority of the marijuana users are. But he brings up the opioid addiction crisis like the two are equal. Marijuana addiction crisis. Now, there's some people who may smoke too much weed. And, you know, I got some homies. I got some relatives who may or may not indulge in the cannabis train, but that just means they're sleepy. And you know, you make sure that they eat before they get to your house. That's pretty much it. Or you know, they're smoking before they leave, so it's like if you're gonna drop them off or smoking at their house so they don't like fall asleep at your spot. That's about it. That's the marijuana crisis. Doritos. Whatever snacks you got in the house are in danger. This opioid crisis means you have Caucasian folks trying to break into your stuff. I mean, I would take a guess that the suburbs is what's that? I got the power. It's getting kind of hectic. You know, folks is going crazy. They're like losing their mind because that's all you hear. The opioid addiction crisis. The opioid crisis here in America, in the suburbs. So probably, what are we going to do? There's nothing you can do because you can't go after Big Pharma. But, of course, they're going to attack marijuana. They're going to put the faces of the people on marijuana in lieu of the faces opioid addiction crisis participants, which we of course know are majority Caucasian people. Bait and switch, I believe that's what you would call. So that new war on drugs just means they're going to arrest you because the suburbs is on opioids. So they gonna, in order to fight the crime in the suburbs, we gonna put people in the inner city in jail. Even though there's no opioid crisis in the inner city. But they're gonna suffer the burden of this tragedy anyway. Funny how that goes. It kind of reminded me of because Trump, his Treasury Secretary, is targeting tax reform by August. Your president has promised to announce a phenomenal plan to reform the U.S. tax system by early March. Where he said it's going to be very significant. It's going to be focused on middle-class income tax and simplification, making the business tax competitive with the rest of it. Which basically means millionaires and billionaires won't pay as much taxes as they pay now. You know that Ronald Reagan trickle-down economics. Whereas thousandaires, you will face the burden of the new tax code. They say middle income tax cuts. Middle income tax cuts and simplification and making the business tax competitive with the rest of the world is just basically saying, hey, y'all might get $10 more on your tax return, but we're going to get $10 million. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production. Y'all don't forget, I got my main man, Anton Marks, on Saturday. Be there, be square. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you've got
smooth drama.